AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here! Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
This is Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer. Inside the evidence, behind the headlines, from someone who's been there. Here now, Jennifer Coffendaffer.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Hey, listen, I just had to come on with some really breaking news on two different cases. The first case I want to talk about is the case of Anna Kepner. And we've been following this case slowly, and I really want to explain to you how the FBI nexus has, in a way, and will always, if it involves a minor, slow down the process of making an arrest. Specifically, we now have information from a court document that cites the stepmother of Anna Kepner saying, listen, I cannot be forced to continue in a custody battle that she has for her stepson because of an impending possible arrest from the FBI. So this is paraphrasing this. I want to actually say exactly the words that were relayed in this really important court document. And I did post this on my Twitter if you want to read it. It's really very interesting. Specifically, Anna's stepmother, again, is in a custody battle for her stepson, who I believe, from everything we know now, first of all, this is something that family has been screaming from the top of their lungs, saying, listen, Anna didn't have an accidental overdose. Anna didn't die accidentally. Anna didn't fall from a balcony. Anna was murdered by her stepbrother. That is what clearly the grandmother and the uncle have been saying about Anna's death. For me, I've held off on having an opinion until after seeing this. And this court document, and I'm going to read it verbatim. Okay. Chantel Hudson is the stepmother of Anna. And she says specifically, Chantel Hudson, and this is the quote from these records, Kepner's stepmother, who was also on the cruise along with her children and Kepner's father. So again, Anna's father and Chantel Hudson were boyfriend and girlfriend. Chantel has children, minor children. And one of those minor children is the child that's in question here. Okay. Continuing with the quote, requested a delay in her custody hearing because one of her minor children may face criminal charges. Any testimony the respondent may give, either written or oral, could be prejudicial to her and her adolescent child in the pending criminal investigation. Therefore, the respondent cannot be compelled to testify. And this is according to court documents. So this is huge breaking news because it corroborates what the family is saying. This is in a court document. Listen, mama doesn't want to face this court battle right now because she's going to be entrenched in a battle likely that involves her son being charged. This again was the ship that Anna Kepner, who may, you may not have followed this case, essentially Anna Kepner was on this cruise line. It's the Carnival Horizon. And any case where there is a death aboard a cruise ship is the responsibility, venue, jurisdiction of the FBI. So this was, that's under an American flag. This was under an American flag. It pulls back into the port of Miami. FBI agents enter the ship and essentially start with their interviews and so on. I want to show also, this is a picture of the actual ME. I think I grabbed this screenshot. Oh, shoot. I didn't grab it. But essentially, the ME came aboard, or not aboard. They were outside of the cruise ship, and she was wheeled on. I posted the video of that on my Twitter. Just to provide timeline and perspective. But the FBI, of course, is going to investigate any death investigation. As I mentioned, when I was in the Virgin Islands, I had one such case, one of my cases down there. And, you know, we locked down that ship and began a full investigation. Actually, we kept that ship there for hours and hours and hours as we conducted an investigation involving crew members, staff, passengers, looking at video, so on and so forth, because you always want to preserve everything, preserve all your witnesses. They're on vacation, so you want to get that done as soon as possible, but you really have to conduct this huge, thorough investigation post-haste right when the boat docks. So then we see later, again, her body being taken off and the ME reviewing it. Now, why do I say that this is a little bit different than most investigations? I'm going to tell you why. And it's very simple. You see, whenever there is a minor involved in an FBI investigation, this is a whole different situation than if it's an adult. Why? Because typically the FBI, in fact, we don't charge minors. A lot of people might not know this. So a minor age, according to the FBI and federal regulations, is anything under 18. So it is, of course, believed that this is a minor being discussed because the court documents we reviewed particularly look at a custody battle for a minor. So we know the stepson is a minor. And that's what I think is slowing down the reason that we don't see an arrest yet. Okay, I want to talk about this court. It's called, it's where the FBI goes in, and this is not where they're going to even be named a criminal suspect or anything. But what the FBI is going to do is they're going to ask for an adjudication as to whether the minor can either be charged as an adult. And if the minor can be charged as an adult in this situation, then the FBI will charge, not the FBI, but the U.S. Attorney's Office, right? So the FBI is the investigative body, and the U.S. Attorney's Office and a specific line, AUSA, is going to be the one to actually charge the case. You charge in three ways. You charge by either criminal complaint, you charge by an indictment, or you charge by information. A criminal complaint is when an FBI agent goes in and swears before a magistrate judge and says, listen, these are the facts as I know them and have investigated them. And it doesn't mean he did all the investigation, he or she. It could mean any of the other FBI agents, but they will delineate that. According to FBI agent so-and-so, they spoke to such-and-such who said this, or the ME. So I don't want to give the impression that it's one case agent operating solo. No, he has a whole cadre of agents that are conducting the investigation, and it's all filtering to him, and he ultimately is responsible. He goes in, and typically he or she, the case agent, will swear before the magistrate. But again, that could be doled out depending on what's happening in the investigation. That individual, the case agent, might decide, listen, I'm more important here on the cruise ship to decide who's going to be investigated and to sort through what's coming in than I am just swearing to the facts as they know them before a magistrate. But nevertheless, that's how a criminal complaint works. Then a magistrate signs off on an arrest warrant, that person's arrested. Okay, this is all the normal process. An indictment is usually much longer, and that's a process by which it goes before the grand jury. That same agent goes, the case agent definitely on this one, will go before the grand jury and spell out the case. That is the more long-term process. And an information is typically when two lawyers are involved. A lot of times it's in white-collar cases. We recently saw it on the Karen Reed case, where we saw an individual that was on the grand jury leak information. They did all of that by criminal information. That's when both attorneys say, listen, we want to cooperate. We want to get this deal done. The prosecutor says, we want to get it done too. So we're just going to by information charge the individual. Okay, so why is all of this important? This is so important because we are not talking about any of those processes at first, because now we have a minor. And what has to happen is this has to be adjudicated in a court concerning juveniles. And this is what we do when we have a juvenile defendant. So we're looking at either one, pushing for that individual to be adjudicated as an adult, or two, it's going to be moved to a local authority like Miami-Dade to go ahead and prosecute the case. Those are really what most likely will happen. If it's such an egregious violation, and if the everybody is sort of in an agreement within the U.S. Attorney's Office and the prosecutors, in the U.S. Attorney's Office, as well as the FBI, if they're all in agreement, listen, this is a despicable crime, we're going to go ahead and charge federally, that can be done. But most of the time when there's a juvenile, it moves over to the local authority. So that's just the normal things, how this plays out. I just wanted to make everybody aware of that, because it is so very different from how this would work if it were an adult. And it also explains a bit of the slow go, if you will, concerning charging this individual. So critical that everybody understand that, because we have a minor at play here. At least that's what it would seem from the most recent information. Because of that, that is why we have this sort of slow roll in terms of this case being somebody being charged. So I don't want people to think, and I know the family thinks this, I've reached out to the family and I'm hoping to talk to them, but I know the family believes this is going to be, you know, shoved under the carpet, that this isn't, that this is going to be hidden, that maybe even some of the family members are not being honest and truthful with what happened. But remember, she was found by a maid. And the FBI was all over this case really quickly. I mean, the ME declared her dead at 11:17. The maid found her at 11, according to reports. So this was quickly dispatched. Thankfully, they were close to Miami. Quickly dispatched over to the FBI. So expect that this juvenile, if indeed the information and evidence that we're kind of seeing from the family members and now in this court document come forward, truly expect there to be charges, but expect this delay because it's a juvenile involved. I really hope the FBI keeps it. I hope that they declare this case, if what we're hearing from the family is true in terms of the horrible death that she suffered and how she was wrapped in blankets and, you know, life vests were put over top of her and she was put under a bed, and that the juvenile slept in the bed above her. If all of that is true that we're hearing reported again by the family, and then of course seeing this now in this court document, it could be that they decide to adjudicate this as federally, but I don't think so. I'm just saying in most cases, especially because this could have been some sort of crime of passion, not really premeditated. I can see, not saying that's true, maybe it was premeditated, but from the indications we're hearing and what it sounds like happened, and again, I know what everybody is saying online about why this happened. I'm waiting for a court document to spell that out. But if that is true, and the family's been look, their information has been spot on so far, then I expect this to be moved over again to a court that is a Miami-Dade court and judicial authority to adjudicate this horrible, horrible situation. I also want to say, just because I would be remiss not to, listen, this was a girl who had her whole life ahead of her. She was 18 years old. She was getting ready to graduate. She was on a family fun cruise around a holiday. The Veterans Day holiday was on Tuesday. This happened over that weekend preceding that. Just horrible. She was planning on going into the military. She had good grades. She was a cheerleader. She was from Florida. She was all of the things that a family hopes a young girl will grow into. And also from a personal standpoint, from what I understand, she was lots of fun. Just a great human. You know, nobody had that I've ever read anything negative to say about this young woman. And it's a tragedy. And I know a lot of people believe that cruise ships are so unsafe. And in a sense, you have all these people locked on a ship. You have, there's no police authority. You have security, but you don't have a real police authority there. And so sometimes it can be hours before you make it into port if you're in deep international waters, and all this time can go by. And so if a crime is committed, I can tell you firsthand, it's very difficult to investigate because of the crime scene not being maintained as it should oftentimes in cases like this. But I will say, I do predict that this case will be adjudicated. It will be adjudicated and somebody will be held responsible for what happened to Anna Kipner. Give it a little bit of time for the court to decide what happens in terms of how this is adjudicated, since it's a juvenile, whole different ball of worms. We don't try juveniles in court. Like I said, the person who did this has to be bumped to an adult, or it's going to be slid over to Miami-Dade. So that is typically what happened. So what happens? I wanted y'all to know that, because I think that's really important. I also want to talk about a big break in the Celeste Rivas case. Okay, this is big from the standpoint, and I've always said this wasn't reported precisely correct. A lot of people reported that there weren't going to be charges, that all they had was a body, that all they had to charge was concealment of that body, and that he wasn't going to be charged, that he wasn't named a suspect. All of that was true, that those things were said, that that's what they had, and that he wasn't going to be charged. They're talking about at the time. I think this was loud and clear, what we call 5x5, Lima Charlie, loud and clear. Listen, leave us alone. We're investigating this. No, right now we're not going to charge. Right now, this is all we have is concealment of a corpse, meaning this is all we can prove at this very moment. So anyway, the bottom line is now, according to ABC and their source reporting, listen, there's going to be a charge or he has become an official suspect. Now, I would argue, judging from all the information that exists on him, and it's pretty darn extensive, I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell. And I posted on this as well, if, again, you prefer to read things in Twitter to kind of corroborate what you're hearing here. Let me just post, and this is just my rundown. Okay, first of all, let's start from the top. Celeste decayed 70 pounds. That's all it was down to after all the decay occurred. I think I have a picture of the body coming out of the trunk. Oh, I know what happened when you're only allowed to have 10 in your studio. And so it took off that picture I have. But there's a picture in the Tesla at that junkyard being pulled out in this black plastic bag. And again, as many of you know, I tried to reenact that, that other than breaking bones and squashing somebody in this, that Tesla trunk, or her being dismembered before entry, essentially, you can't fit in that Tesla trunk. Even the one he had that was 2 cubic feet, a little bit larger, it holds golf clubs nicely. So just think of any human you know that holds a set of golf clubs. Just isn't going to work. And initially reported by KTLA from police when they were first initially even looking to identify who Celeste was, dismembered in the front trunk of a Tesla. It's David's Tesla. Okay, so right there you have a breadcrumb, doesn't necessarily mean it's him, but you have a breadcrumb to that owner. I mean, why didn't he report his Tesla being stolen? You know, if he had no idea what happened or where it was. Number two, Celeste was his clandestine girlfriend. Look, they were together. I've read as far back as 11 when they first intersected online. We know we have a teacher that said, listen, he came to pick her up. She was in the court. He's got pictures on his phone of the whole situation. So we know as a minor, he was at least involved with her in some way up till the age of 14. She was murdered at 14, found at what would have been 15, but she wasn't alive past the age of 14. He wrote a song called Celeste. Come on. He was in love. And again, this doesn't come off, but this Hello Kitty store comes out. He was obsessed with Hello Kitty. He's got Hello Kitty everywhere. He's laying with Hello Kitty. And I truly believe he was somebody that courted her, that groomed her, and that lured her away to be with him. That's just my belief based on the evidence we've seen. Most 20-year-old men are not into Hello Kitty. And she was very much, I have a picture of her when she was really young, and Hello Kitty, that was her thing. And I think he used that in a sense to have a connection with her. After her body was found, he disappears. He cancels all his US tours and cancels all of his tours abroad. He transferred his property over to Mama after all this started. I mean, that is a huge clue. He acts out in a video dragging a dead body and putting it into a trunk. And, you know, I've showed all of this on, I'm just kind of bringing it all together here. His Tesla was parked near the house, actually, which I think was purposeful to sort of keep an eye on it. What's happening is that as that body is decaying, remember, it went down to 70 pounds. You could see she's not a 70-pound girl. She's probably in about the 100 to 115, 20-pound range. And yet the decay caused it to come down to only 70 pounds. And again, the initial reporting was dismembered. He abandoned his multi-million-dollar rental house. This is huge. The law enforcement conducted a search warrant at his house. Why did they conduct a search warrant at the house? Because they had probable cause to believe that indicia of that crime or other information would be there to help solve this crime. You can't go into somebody's house because of our Sixth Amendment right unless you have probable cause and you can show a judge and a judge signs off on it to believe indicia of a crime, a body, something is at that house. And they went and searched his house. Another huge clue. Remember on 2-1, February 1st, he leases another Tesla, a red Tesla in this case, 2-1. And look at the state of decay we have. I think it's very possible she could have been put in there in January. The last photos we know of her, at least that were at the house, that a PI says there were tons of photos, but that none after January 2nd. And I've always said, did something happen on that New Year's Eve night, that New Year's Day? That's when so many crimes take place, that something horrible happened in and around that time frame. So the main thing, I just wanted to run down some of the really disparaging facts toward David being involved. And then I also wanted to give you the breaking news from ABC. They say He's a suspect, officially named a suspect. Can't wait to see it out of the mouths of the investigating authorities, but we may never see it. We just might see handcuffs. We might see more than one pair of handcuffs. Did he do this completely on his own? Again, I always see that as very unlikely. I think it would be almost possible for a 5'3" little man, he's a little bitty guy, to put somebody approximately his size into a frunk in a bag. It just takes two people. It's possible, but not probable. So anyway, that's the huge breaking news. Anna Kepner, now we know from court documents, it looks like pointed information toward this stepbrother. The FBI has to go through a very specific judicial process to get this, to get her, him moved up to adult court or to transfer over to Miami-Dade. And then finally, in terms of Celeste, we've got our suspect finally named. Look, anybody, this is Occam's razor. Of course he's involved. Look at all these clues we have before us. And that's just what we have. Law enforcement has so much more. So am I surprised? Absolutely not surprised. Thank you so much, Lou. That's so sweet of you to make a donation to the channel. I'm going to be coming on a lot more. The huge paper I had due has now been put off for a few months due to the court. So thankfully, I have a little breathing room and a little breathing room on the rest of my cases that are next year in terms of trial and deposition dates. So I'm excited because as this breaking news comes, I'm going to come at you with the FBI's, with a perspective from a retired 28-year veteran in federal law enforcement, 25 with the FBI. And love you guys being here. Thank you so much. And until next time, may justice be served for both Anna and for Celeste, two totally tragic victims.
Want to break the case with Jennifer Coffendaffer even more? Then press subscribe right now and join Jen on YouTube. Just search Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer now.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.